Howdy neighbors, Ron Hayes, beef buzzing with you today with Hannah Thompson-Weeman of Animal Agriculture Alliance. We're talking Prop 12 with Hannah in just a moment.
The conservative choice for Corporation Commission is clear. That choice, Kim David. Kim David will be an advocate for your Oklahoma conservative values. Kim knows how important low energy costs are to businesses and Oklahoma families. These are pocketbook issues that require strong, consistent conservative leadership. Vote Kim David on June 28th.
Not authorized by any candidate or candidate committee. Paid for by Energy Engaged. 500 Northeast 4th Street, Suite 200, Oklahoma City, 73104. 405-942-2334.
I'm Randy Groner, a doctor by day and a farmer by trade. Career politicians in Congress are putting us all in danger in exchange for money from special interest groups. I oppose the $40 billion government waste sent to the Ukraine. This will tax every Oklahoma family about $500. Congressman Mullen directly supported this with his special interest friends. I am endorsed by General Mike Flynn, Trump's national security advisor, and former Senator Dr. Tom Coburn's legacy organization. I'm Dr. Randy Groner running for U.S. Senate. I will fight the career politicians and their special interest supporters, and I approve this message.
Paid for by Dr. Groner for U.S. Senate.
We're talking today with Hannah Thompson-Weeman, President, CEO of the Animal Agriculture Alliance. Hannah, thank you for spending a few minutes with us today. And we're starting to see a lot of publicity, a lot of things in advance of the Supreme Court actually hearing arguments over California's Proposition 12. And this is huge as far as animal agriculture is concerned. I know that you've paid a lot of attention to how this thing has developed and how we finally have gotten to this point of the Supreme Court saying, yep, we're going to look at it.
It is extremely significant that the Supreme Court has decided to take up the case involving Proposition 12. And a lot of folks in animal agriculture, especially in the pork community, are kind of waiting with bated breath to see what the result is, because it is going to set an extremely significant precedent when it comes to these state-level pieces of legislation that impact not only producers in that state that passed the legislation, but in the case of things like Prop 12, affecting producers across the country. There's a reason that activist groups try to get these pieces of legislation passed in states with very little of the production in question. It's a very intentional strategy, and it calls a lot of questions when it comes to interstate commerce. And is that fair to producers to be regulated by citizens who live in a completely different state? I know a lot of restaurant and retail brands and others are really paying attention to this case because, again, it's going to affect the ultimate implementation or not implementation of not only Proposition 12, but also similar pieces of legislation in Massachusetts and other states that have either been passed or been proposed. So we're very attuned to it, and it's certainly promising that the Supreme Court did decide to take up the case.
I would think that, obviously you mentioned the fact that this is mostly, specifically Prop 12 is about pork, but the concept, though, it really has impact on literally anybody in animal agriculture, it seems like.
And we've seen ballot initiatives pop up in other states that do impact other sectors of animal agriculture. And even Prop 12, it's not just pork. It also involves the veal community and the egg community. But those communities are already kind of going in the direction of what Prop 12 is regulating because of other market forces. So that's really why pork is who's stepping up the most to be involved in this conversation. But a lot of us followed the really outlandish ballot initiative that was proposed in Colorado. That would have redefined certain production practices as sexual assault of an animal and would have established a minimum lifespan that animals had to live to before they could be processed. And similarly in Oregon, the piece of proposed ballot initiative legislation that would have redefined any processing of an animal as cruelty and made that illegal. So you're welcome to eat them, but they have to die of natural causes. So these ballot initiatives are really cross-species. They're really impactful. And again, I think the outcome of this case is going to set the stage for what we see happening with them long into the future.
You know, I've talked before about, you know, what the intention of these groups, the folks that are really promoting these type of initiatives, they do have a fairly malicious agenda when it comes to the well-being of animal agriculture and the folks that are involved in it.
And legislation is only one small piece of that overall strategy. So the Alliance tracks around 200 different organizations that we have group profiles on who are targeting animal agriculture in one way or another. And as you just mentioned, their intention is not about animal welfare. It's not about continuous improvement or innovation. At the end of the day, if we are using animals for any purpose, including for food, they don't believe there's any way for that to be done ethically and responsibly, and they're advocating for animal agriculture and really, again, any use of animals to be completely ended.
Hannah Thompson-Weeman with the Animal Agriculture Alliance. You got the beef buzz on Ron.
First tattoo, huh?
Yep. I wanted to read Tough on Aphids, Easy on Ladybugs.
What's the story behind that?
Well, on my farm, I use this powerful stuff from BASF called Safina Inscalis Insecticide.
Sorry, it's going to sting. So, Safina Insecticide?
It's strong on aphids and quickly limits plant damage, but gentle on ladybugs.
Gentle on ladybugs?
What can I say? I'm a ladybugs man.
Be strong and gentle with Safina Insecticide.
Ooh, always read and follow label directions.
And that's your Beef Buzz. I'm Ron Hayes.